Hey everyone, super excited that you're joining us for this thought leadership series, TechRx, your prescription for tomorrow's healthcare device challenges. We're diving into DevOps for devices, helping innovators at companies in healthcare have a guide to enterprise fleet transformation. I'm so excited to this step-by-step guide with these interviews that we're doing in partnership with Esper, so you could transform your devices and fleet. For more resources on how you could do this and make it happen for your organization, go to outcomesrocket.health/Esper. That's E-S-P-E-R, outcomesrocket.health/Esper. Hope you enjoy the series. To kick off, I have the privilege of hosting co-founder and CEO of Esper, Yadu Golappan. He has 25 years and 35 patents in embedded systems and security. His career includes past engineering leadership roles, such as chief architect of Windows CE and Windows Phone. At Amazon, Yadu designed back-end solutions for Fire OS and AWS before he joined systems engineering for Amazon Go. So excited to have him here on the podcast. Yadu, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. That was a great introduction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yadu. Hey, look, I'm a big fan of your work and actually also have your book here. And at the bottom of the review, it says something really great, which is this book succinctly explains how DevOps can help you push innovations to devices without fear and unlock delightful device-based experiences for end users.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. I'm excited to dig in. And Yadu, just to begin, tell us about yourself. Why did you decide to start Esper?
As you mentioned, I've worked at Microsoft and Amazon, great companies, been spending all my life with devices. So that's my background. That's my roots. Built many different devices. But all of these companies, all of these projects, one common theme was spend a lot of time building out infrastructure before we were able to do what we wanted to do in the project. And a couple of times building out infrastructure for fleets of devices, especially like Amazon Go, et cetera. What I saw was like there was a need for real turnkey solution, be able to deploy devices, because it's not just my project. I see people deploying devices around the world, all kinds of different solutions and different types of devices that are out there, whether for home security, healthcare, retail, point of sale, and everything. The key common theme across the board is they need to be able to deploy these devices, but also maintain, update, manage these devices in a real practical way, in a DevOps way. And
yeah,
hadn't seen any solution like that in the past. All I had seen is like kind of this MDM, okay, device management, very much an IT focused thing, which kind of has its DNA from people bringing in devices into the office space and having a requirement from IT to be able to manage them, to secure them, making sure like password policy, et cetera. And what we want to do was totally different, is be able to provide a mechanism for people building products, whether it's a point of sale system, whether it's a healthcare device, or whether it's a home security system or a fitness. These are all products, totally different from kind of the IT devices people bring in. You have the concept of, hey, I've got a device out there. I've got software that's continuing to evolve. I need to deploy those. I have security patches that I have to manage and get it out there and patch that confidently and more importantly, have a really robust solution. And then you want to be able to understand what these fleets of devices are. Is anything going wrong? And then when customers complain or your employees complain, it's something like a point of sale, it's a friend of an employee, you have the tools to be able to understand what's going on, because these are not stuff that's in a data center where it's a nice closed ecosystem and you have total control. These are devices that's all in people's homes, in hospitals, in restaurants, and each environment can be unique. Each device can be unique. Each manufacturing, how they manufactured that batch could be unique. So these differences create issues and you need to be able to understand how to solve the problems for your customers. And that's what we provide, a full suite of infrastructure that allows you to do that, not only deploy software, but also manage these devices and then monitor them and then as well as diagnose, understand, and resolve issues really quickly.
Well, it's a very robust platform. And for all the innovators listening to this, what are you doing? about your solution and the opportunities. Oh, were you going to say something, Yeru? Please.
No, I mean, that's the thing. We didn't feel there's actually anything out there that was available for people to use out of the box. That's why we built Esper. People have been either using an MD type solution, which doesn't quite fit because you're really building a product, or you're building it on your own. And companies like some car manufacturer that's building electric cars had to build it out of their own so they could do software recalls over the air in order to resolve issues. That's the way, like, you can, if you can update a car, you should be able to update anything else in the world.
Seriously. And, yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's the solution we want to do.
Hey, Yaru, I love that example. And by the way, as a Tesla driver myself, I love nothing more than to get a letter that says this problem happened and then get an email or see the update in the car and then just say it's done. I'm like, seamless. That was beautiful the way it's done.
Exactly. Software updates should not be taken lightly. They need to be part and parcel of your product and how you do them, how often you want to do them. You've got agile methodology for developing. You need agile methodology for deploying. And it's really important that you be able to connect. No longer can you wait for months or even have to make a decision when you have a security update. CTO has to decide whether they can push the security update and whether it's going to cause issues. They need to have the conference be able to push this out and have it roll through its fleet, which is one of the things that we provide, is the ability to control the rollouts. And that shouldn't be something that you have to deeply think about. And it needs to be automatic and part of the DNA of your company and part of the product design, part of the product planning.
Yeah. If you guys don't have roads that are well paved to get these updates done, you're missing the boat. And here's my next question for you, Yaru. And by the way, in light of things like Change Healthcare, you mentioned security updates. Like, we've got to be ready for these types of things. If we're not, we're setting ourselves up for failure. How did you transition from the devices you used to work on, Yaru, to healthcare devices?
Great question. We've had a lot of success early on in the retail, in quick service restaurants and home fitness, these type of devices. One of the things the way we discover new markets is people actually coming in and starting to use them. So very early on, we saw some real wins that started to come in. Patient care becoming a need, especially through COVID, it became more and more important. People started adopting our platform for this. And we saw, okay, that there's a real need here because another use case, and then very similar to clinical trials and other, what I call peripheral healthcare solutions that are not core to inside the hospital. I'm not talking about hospital equipment. I'm not talking about your heartbeat monitor, heart monitor that's attached to the thing. I'm talking about all the other devices that are helping patients get better, monitoring the patients, managing clinical trials so that better trials are performed. And that's the solution we're going after. We're perfect for that. We will go get into core healthcare, but that really, this is the need that we're really seeing, where there's lots of devices that are in hands of customers at homes. And how do you manage that? You've got all these devices that you're sending back to a customer, or your nurses or your doctors are using them and walking around with them. How do you manage these devices? How do you make sure these are updated? Make sure they're... And sometimes these devices with patients who are not technically savvy, how do you help them? How do you walk through them when they have issues? And they need to be really easy to use. And like, the remote patient care is where you need to provide a very simple user interface and make sure it doesn't deviate from the user interface and they're used to it. And they can understand, you can remotely help them being able to understand what's happening and talking through with them. All these use cases are perfect for Esper. And security issues is the other thing that's like the most critical in healthcare. Not only security, making sure the patches are available and you are able to deploy them, you're able to monitor the security profile of the device. And then also understand from a compliance perspective, how your device, are your devices compliant? So if you've got a batch of devices and you want to restrict exactly and make sure it doesn't deviate from a well-known configuration, you can do that with Esper. Whether it's 50,000 devices, 100,000 devices, or 200,000 devices, you know exactly how these devices are. Sometimes you want to partition them off in different devices, make sure these set of devices are compliant to whatever scope you want. All these things are capable with really simple user interface from APIs and ability to rectify that like with a quick single click.
What makes your solution so scalable? Because you're talking hundreds of thousands of devices, right? I mean, that could be a huge burden to any company.
Exactly. That's the key thing. From day one, from an architect, it starts with the architecture. It starts with the experiences I had building up FireOS, and where you're talking about millions and tens of millions of devices, and building out the OTA infrastructure and how to do updates. Your Alexa getting better every day. It's a headless device. It just needs to update and just work. It's a gadget.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what's happening. You don't want to know that you have to go do something. And that's like, so it starts with that experience. And then building out what our customers need, A, from a user interface that's intuitive, where you can collapse your big fleet into really small scale view of, so that you can understand exactly what's happening. And then if you wanted to have the power, you can drill down into smaller sets, into individual device, and you have the power to do whatever you need to do on a single device. And then more importantly is that, okay, after a while, just UI gets in your way. You're not going to be able to manage it. Is the rich API interface, so you can interact with our backends, so you can do exactly what you want to do. So you can run scripts, you can integrate it with your UI that you have on the backend, so that you kind of your cloud and the devices interact and you can understand what's happening. You can deploy your cloud and device software at the same time using these APIs. And that's really key. It's like the power of the APIs that you can use. And most of our customers, they may start with the UI and start small. Obviously, all device, you see growth as they deploy and they get more and more comfortable and they start to do automation. And so they build out automation. So it just happens. And it's part of their build systems or whatever, their configure operational systems.
Hey, Yaru, I love this. I'm going to ask you about use cases here next. But you talked about the UI being an oftentimes first step that your customers take. Tell us a little bit more about that. Help unpack the UI value case.
Yeah. First of all, one of the key things is like in the UI, especially how do you provision, how do you get the onboard device? That's usually your first step. And then after that, you want to start thinking about, depending on your use case, if you're a restaurant, you're thinking about segmenting them to regions or different areas, and you segment your devices so you can manage, sub-segment, group them, and then be able to control how software gets deployed on these segments. You might have 10 versions, I'm just the extreme case, 10 versions of your software out in the field because that's what you want to do. This restaurant group gets this version, this restaurant group, because you're doing A-B testing or you want to keep them in a controlled space until you're comfortable with that. You can do all that very simply. And more importantly, you can also look at you can break down your whole device, 100,000, into this kind of staged pipeline where you can actually watch software go through your fleet of 100,000 devices and flow through. Whether it's a week long, month long, software can flow through your devices. You may not want to update your software all at once. Yeah. You may want to stage it. We allow all that very kind of pictorial way of looking at that. And then finally, being able to do, when you do want to get to a single device, you can actually go in and understand exactly what's happening in the device and whether you want to do securely, do a remote access, remote control of the device, especially when the elderly patient, you can get permission and go connect to it. We have all of this all under secure access. It's all access control, et cetera. Obviously, you can restrict whether there's remote access or what type of things that can happen to your fleet, but you might want to actually have remote access and be able to solve the problem with the customer without having to send the device back or fly someone over there. And that's also, so all the way from hundreds of thousands of devices to an individual device, you need to have the power to be able to do whatever you want to solve the customer's problem.
Amazing. And help me understand the before and after, like somebody that didn't used to have your UI to somebody that now has the Esper UI, like the before and after. Help me understand and
visualize. Yeah, that's really important. What it really does is reduce the operational headache. First of all, it's like being able to streamline your team, being able to have them work on more important problems other than just dig around in a really bad UI or manage one device at a time. I've seen that. And people they've got 40,000 devices and there are people like doing managing devices at a time and updating them, et cetera. It's really operational efficiency. And then what's more important is there's a now start, and this is where DevOps comes in. There is now, before what happened was you would have developers build the code. they throw it over the fence, and then the operational team would take over and deploy and do this one device at a time or whatever in a clunky UI without any automation. So then you start to have the synergy where the developer and the operations teams are connected, and there's automation that's starting to build on how the software and security patches all flow through. And there's both of them can, if there's an issue that the operations team thinks, they can tell the developer, hey, this device is happening, they can take over. And there's a lot more information that can be shared. How fast you bring up devices to building out your teams, you can have a much more efficient operational team. And then more importantly, much more cohesive connection between your development team and the operations team.
Amazing. Thank you for helping us understand the benefits. If we take a look, folks, we take a look at any business, there's this idea of lids, right? The lids that hold businesses back. There's the belief lid. How far do you think your business could go? There's the leadership lid, your ability to lead. And then the third one is the operational lid. It's how efficiently are you running your operation? And Yaru, what you're telling me is this really helps people visualize and get basically aligned and execute effectively on the operations.
Exactly. And what we've seen is as customers come on board, they're able to scale faster. They're able to not only have an operational device, they can ship out devices, manage these devices out to their customers. In the case of like remote patient care, they're able to get these devices in the hands of the customers really much faster. And they're like the scale of the devices that are out there is not what's holding them back. It's there, and that should be background. And that should be, and this thing, it should be about their business, about their software, the quality of their software, what they're doing. And that's what they should be focusing on, and not focusing and trying to have the infrastructure be the burden that's holding them back from scaling.
Love that. Well, listen, guys, I don't know about you, but I definitely would like to put on a nice pair of Esper boxing gloves for the operational battle out there, because these are golden gloves, folks. So Yaru, on use cases, right? Help me understand a couple more of your healthcare use cases that you want to help the listeners focus on.
So as I mentioned, remote patient care is a huge use case. And this is really key where you're sending out devices, whether it's a patient monitoring device or it's a remote healthcare where doctors, physicians are using a device to be able to interact with the patient. In those cases, you just want to ship the devices out. You don't want to have somebody pick it up. You don't want to have training. It just needs to be really easy. And so we allow you to send the device out and update the software. And the key thing in all these remote patient care, you're going to get feedback on the usability of your software, which is really important. And you need to be able to take that feedback and act upon that feedback and evolve the software to adjust so the customers are able to really use this use case. Second one is clinical trials. And clinical trials is where a drug test or a trial that's happening for whatever the pharmaceutical industry needs to evaluate. And more, there's a device associated with that to make sure the patient is compliant. There's some monitoring that's happening. But it's more important that when the trial is going on, the software also doesn't actually change or changes in the way you need to do. And this is the second aspect. It's less about the update. It's exactly opposite. It's really control. This is exactly what the device is. Yeah. And then when it's updated, everybody in the trial is exactly the same. So there's this huge compliance factor that comes into the plate that you have to watch out for. And Esper really empowers you to be able to do that. And that's one of the key features and capabilities. We have this capability called drift management. You can actually know when devices are in drift from what they call the ideal condition that you want, the exact condition, well-known condition. And then the other one is we're seeing more and more, you have the home fitness, but also home therapeutics, whether it's exercise machine, but there's also machines that are helping people manage whether they're recovering from orthopedic problem or something, then there's usually some type of device associated with that. And the doctors really want to be able to do this remotely, because in the past, what's been happening is you'd have to come into the hospital and you'd have to use one of the specialized machines there that they have, and there's somebody standing there with you. And in order to reduce cost and also have the flexibility, and this is from a patient compliance perspective, so that they can actually do the exercises, they can do it at home, they can do it better, And so this allows them to have that capability. And more, we're seeing use cases where people are doing the exercise at their home. And then fourth is more patient monitoring, whether it's at home, being able to monitor, whether it's a medical condition or even with computer vision, elderly patients that may fall off the bed, et cetera. You want to be able to track off that, or they fall while they're walking, be able to detect that. So we've seen more and more of these smart devices that are put in homes, especially from the families that are there, but also from doctors and nursing homes, et cetera. So lots of different use cases that we're seeing. And then finally is you're seeing more and more tablets and devices that doctors are using that you want to control and have them not be a very general purpose device, because you want to be able to easily get to the systems that they want and be able to update the software that they want, rather than you'll see institutions be able to control that update and control the experience, rather than have it be more at the, it's just a, you bring in the device and you start installing software. So have it be a more cohesive way that all the doctors experience the same application that you wanted to do.
Brilliant. Some super solid use cases there. Yeah, I do really appreciate you walking us through all those. And bottom line is, care is moving to the home. And with that move, I saw a paper by McKinsey, something like by 2026, something to the tune of $30 billion is moving to the home.
Yes.
And this is where you guys come in and help out with that utility. So super exciting that you guys are doing.
And there's going to be a device or some monitoring or some other way associated with all of this care. It just can't be an interview.
Human.
And expect the patients to do it. You need to be able to get feedback.
Big time. Love it. All right. I'm a huge fan of wins. And we love winning at Outcomes Rocket. And we love seeing customers win. So give us some examples of some of the wins you've been able to achieve for customers.
Like, I'll start off with kind of like philosophy. One of the things I've been talking about this infrastructure, this software system that we SaaS that we provide, but we're more than that. We're more than just providing the software that you install and get going. We really truly try to be a partner, meaning we understand you don't want to be the expert on like devices and device fleets. And you're trying to write this kind of, if you're in healthcare, your expertise is in medical, and you're trying to build this particular medical software, and you may not know what the hardware choice that you have, or what are the scenarios that you may have to understand. So we're proud to be able to help partner with our customers in order to be able to educate them, help them along the journey, and be a kind of a guiding help. I've had CTOs call me for cellular issues that they're having, and they're trying to brainstorm on the problems. I will get on the call because I've done this in the past. And so CTO to CTO call. So I'm happy to spend a half an hour, 15 minutes going through that. Those things make me happy, is being able to solve these problems. It has nothing to do with Esper software, but trying to solve the problems so that they can actually scale and continue to scale, and that which is key to us. So the success of the customer is really key, because, maybe for selfish reasons, but if as long as the customers succeed in their business, is we succeed because they're able to scale faster. Whether it's altruistic or not, we have same goals in mind, is they have to be, have them be successful in their system, whatever they build. So it's really important. But we actually take that to passion, and we're passionate across the whole company, making sure. And it's not just a lot of people have this thing, customer thing. We're absolutely critical, because it's critical to our business success and making sure our customers continue to succeed. So we've done really well. We've got about 20 or 30 like wins just in healthcare, but in the last year or so alone. And they're all critical. Yeah. And they're some of the biggest companies that are out there, especially in clinical trials, in pain management, and whether it's some company like Clinical Link that's doing trials, or it's more of a company like RomTech that's doing orthopedic management. Lots of great companies that are trying, and whether they start off small or come in big, we're in it together to be able to succeed.
Thank you, Yadav. Really appreciate that. And what would you say is one of the most common fail points you see with customers that people can avoid?
First, one of the biggest one is picking your right hardware partner is really important. Your software is really as good as the hardware it's running on. And we pride ourselves in having a diverse partner relationship. We have direct relationship with a lot of OEMs, whether it's companies like Lenovo, HP, and even point of sale software company like Xenial. We develop a relationship, but we also have a relationship with all kinds of other companies. If you go to our website, you can see all the different hardware supported. And that's not just because it's worked on a company, but we've also developed a relationship with these hardware vendors. So we can also provide, if you're not able to do that, we can provide you recommendation. And if you're building a customer hardware, we can also work with you on building the hardware. So that's pick number one.
That's big.
We've seen more projects fail because they picked the wrong hardware partner to work with. And so that's really key. And they want to just do software. And I can understand that. So it's really key to get that right on the first goal. And number two is really about really understanding the cost of ownership and trying to be able to, they underestimate what it's going to take to really, when they get successful, the small project starts to hit it off. And that's the, earlier you do it and have this infrastructure, and we don't really care whether your first 5 devices, first 10 devices, even if you have devices in the lab, you still haven't gone to production. You should be using something like Esper. You should be deploying and practicing deploying software to the lab. And then your systems, your people get used to when you do go into production and you're used to that. So it needs to start culturally at day one. And the other is really understanding what is going to be on the software, what's going to be on the system, and being able to understand how to control it. And sometimes there's a lot of junk software on there. And how do you disable that? How do you control that? And when you pick the right partner, you may not get all that. So really, the more you have that's on there, the more software that you're not be using, especially like a tablet, the more surface area you have from a security perspective. How do you reduce that? And Esper can help control that and disable all the other software that's not needed other than the one that's being used. And it's a life cycle, understanding the real life cycle from deploying to managing, provisioning the devices, getting it out there, shipping them, and then the maintenance, and then eventually the hardware life cycle that you have. So you need to have a smooth way of understanding when you have hardware failures. And they really don't usually have a mechanism to adapt to that. You never know when you're going to have a hardware failure of the field and how are you going to get the customer back up and running. I can go on and on, but this
is hugely valuable. Yeah, dude, thank you. Ultimately, folks, most common pitfalls, picking your hardware. And there's so many surprises that are out there. And secondly, cost of ownership, right? Making sure you're thinking about the entire life cycle. These are things that should not catch you blind. With the company like Esper out there, this is available out the box. So definitely take advantage of these guys. Reach out to them. There's opportunities for you to catch things before they happen. And that's where the magic happens, right? That's where you scale.
Exactly. And that's really important. Is as early as possible, we're there to help. We're there to help guidance. In our company, we've got hundreds of years of device fleet and device experiences that we can bring to bear, whether you're small or big. We want you to have the right solution so you can scale.
That's awesome. So folks, take it from the black belt with multiple degrees in DevOps here. You definitely want to connect with these guys. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I love your passion for this business. I love your passion for not only having the software that helps people with DevOps for devices, but really the passion you have for solving problems. What closing thought would you leave our listeners with today? And what's the best place they could learn more about you guys?
So I love this podcast. This podcast is a great way of getting our message out there. But we're really setting up a series so we can inform you on more and more details and getting down to specific details. This is the first of our podcasts in this series. But our CTO, Sudhir Reddy, will be on to talk about security and compliance. I alluded to it, but he will really get into more details on what that really means. And in healthcare, that's really important. And then finally, we'll actually have real customers come on and talk about their experiences, whether it's with Esper or with scaling devices and what they can share with the rest of you.
Thank you for that preview, Yadu. And yes, we're excited to go through these different topics, security and compliance, and hear real case stories of how the Esper platform has made a difference. Yadu, thank you for everything that you do, and thanks for participating in this.
Yeah, thanks for having me again on this podcast.
Our pleasure.